And welcome back to the Giants Facebook page. Happy holidays, everybody. It's time to go on the line. I'm Paul Dottino. He's two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal. We are Dotson Deal, and we're going to be here for the next several minutes to take your questions and your comments relating to Big Blue, the New York Football Giants. Now, they have only one game left in the regular season. There will be no playoffs for the Giants this year. It's the Washington Redskins coming here to MetLife Stadium on Sunday in the season finale, David. And let's face it, despite everything that has happened this year, a win on Sunday will give those guys a feel-good taste going into the offseason.
I mean, obviously, with the adversity that this football team has faced, you have enough motivation moving forward, getting ready for the 2018, and to use that fuel as a fire to ignite your team in 2018 to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But at the same time, when you've hit the adversity that you faced, you have one final opportunity to put something on your resume at home up against a division rival in the Washington Redskins to where you can walk out and into the new year with a positive feeling, regardless of what took place this season, and earn and reap the rewards of hard work and sticking together and doing what you need to do to feel that and win a game and earn winning a football game to end the season.
David, we invite all the fans to hit us up with some questions and comments over the next several minutes. Again, we'll try to get to them as quickly as we can. We already have one popping up on the board.
Right.
It comes from Kaiser. He wants to know about the pluses and the minuses about hiring a GM before a coach, or maybe vice versa.
Well, I would say the pluses of hiring a GM before the head coach is those two are going to be tied at the hip together, and the GM is usually the one who selects the head coach, and those two will ride the storm together or they will get into the storm together. So I think that's the part of that they have to have a relationship, that they have to be on the same page and an understanding of one another. The issue is if you hire a head coach before the general manager, it may not be the same fit. They may not see the same system of what they're trying to do offensively or defensively the same. And that would structure difficult towards how are you going to pick as the general manager when you have a head coach that's trying to do something different than what you're trying to do and assemble upstairs.
Now, if there is a silver lining here, and again, it's a small one, but because of all the injuries that the Giants have had, they have had an opportunity not just to look at the 53 guys on their roster, but they've probably looked at about 70-plus guys over the course of the season.
It's been difficult following the roster, and I think that's a product of what takes place when you're 2-13, sitting where you are. Usually at this point in the season when things are struggling, you say, maybe we'll give the younger guy an opportunity to showcase it. Unfortunately, due to injuries, you had to do that already. So this is an opportunity for some of those younger players to show either they will be a part of the New York Giants or on an NFL team next year based upon how they perform in these last games. More importantly, this last one on Sunday. But overall, do they deserve to be in the NFL? And that's a very big opportunity for them.
Tim has a very interesting question. He wants to know who the best GM candidate is so far. Now, the Giants have acknowledged four interviews to this point, but there may wind up being more. We're not so sure about that.
Yeah.
We do know the Giants will be picking no later than third overall in the draft. So the GM's obviously going to have a coaching decision to deal with. He may or may not have a draft pick to deal with, or maybe he decides to trade it.
And that's a big thing, but that is a high point for anybody. Number one, to be the general manager of the New York Giants. People would jump at that opportunity. But two, even as unfortunate as this season, you're walking in where you have other pieces in place, where you have a top number two or three draft pick that gives you flexibility to rebuild this roster. So it is for a GM coming into this situation. Granted, it's not perfect, but there are things for you to really build not only the New York Giants, but your resume on what you can do here.
Michael has an interesting question about the quarterback situation in regards to rookie Davis Webb, who has not taken a regular season snap so far this year with only one game to go. He wants to know, how do you evaluate him, or if you should actually look at a quarterback in the draft? David, let me ask you this. We have heard from the players throughout the Giants locker room all season long that they have really been impressed with Webb during practice.
Yes.
If you were a player on the team and you saw a youngster like that doing so well at practice, how much confidence could you build from that, or would you need to see him in a game?
I think it definitely builds a lot of confidence because you're seeing a young player earn his right to get on the field, that it's not just going to get handed to him. And when you hear those things, not only out of the players, but out of Coach Mike Sullivan and other people that are hand in hand on everything he does on a daily basis, it has all been absolutely positive by the way that he prepares, the way that he approaches the game, the way that he dictates things now since they've given him a bigger role in practice. And you see the evolution of a young quarterback when he's facing week one up against the first string defense to week 17 to where they are now. So they've had that time to have that evaluation process. And moving forward, if the players and the coaches and people are excited right now about them, that's all signs that things are going to be good for the future of Davis Webb and the quarterback position if he's that.
Yeah, intangibles-wise, he has so many similarities to Eli Manning, and that certainly makes a lot of people feel very good. Francis wants to know about Odell Beckham's injured ankle, which was surgically repaired. We've already seen him without crutches and without a cast. He's working out, doing a lot of really good things with rehab. He wants to know about how he thinks the injury might affect him next year as a wide receiver.
Well, we know that he took your fashion design and got that Louis Vuitton boot done, just like Paul DiTino would, but no, the thing that you really have to focus on, which, number one, we've seen him running in the underwater treadmill. He's posted on Instagram and social media. So he's doing the running motions. He's getting his muscles and his legs going, and he's not getting the impact on his ankle, on his feet, or his knees, or his hip. So that's a positive sign of where he's going. But the biggest thing that you know about Odell Beckham Jr., the competitive fire in him that he has as a professional, the way that he approaches the practice field, the way that he studies film, the way that he takes care of his body, I honestly have no doubt that he'll return to form next season.
Isn't it fair also to say, David, that because he is so early in his career, in his young to mid-20s, that the body heals a lot better than if he was a 32-year-old wide receiver?
No question. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, if that happened to Larry Fitzgerald, that would be a career-ending injury to him. But when you are a younger player, when you still have a lot of life left in you as a football player and a shelf life, and your expiration date that all athletes have at some point, it's still got a long period of time on it. It is easier to recover from surgery, not to mention how different everything is in the medical field and technology and sports science. He'll be able to come back from this one.
Nick wants to know about, despite the Giants' poor regular season record, how fun was it to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the 2007 Super Bowl champs? And by the way, this guy was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible to be in the tunnel with those guys, you know, laughing, telling stories, and you know, some of those players that I played with are family and brothers. And unfortunately, you keep in touch, whether it's text message or talking or however you do it. But when everybody got together, it was like you never left. And that special bond that we have still to this day, 10 years later, is a reason why we had the success on the field.
You know, David, I wish you were actually with us in Arizona this past weekend, because it was kind of special being in the building.
You know, going back there, I've called games there for Fox, and walking back in that building, I mean, it still gives me goosebumps walking down the tunnel, seeing the entrance of where we came out before that game, you know, just taking in the sights of remembering what it felt like to celebrate that Super Bowl with my teammates, the organization, and your family, coming out of the stands, seeing the confetti go down. You had that reflection now watching the game, but when we played there in 11, it was the same type of feeling that it's a special place when you've been a part of that.
Yeah, we got one more. This comes in from Paul. He wants to know about the Giants' chances of perhaps trading down in the draft. Again, to reassert, the Giants will be drafting no lower than the third overall position. Yeah. They could be number two.
And that's something that you and I have talked about. If you can get four picks for that second or third pick, that makes a big difference in your ability to change a roster and to build it up, because you have more opportunities with draft picks. But having said that, if there is a player, and I'm not saying it's a quarterback, but if there is a specific player that's available for you that you fully believe in, that is a franchise-changing player, especially when it's a quarterback, you've got to pull the trigger on it.
Yep. Well, that'll do it for this edition of On the Line. He is David Deal. I'm Paul DiTino. We're your Dotson Deal. If you have any more questions, don't forget, go to Twitter and hit up at Madeline Burke, because she will have a chance to talk to Cross, Carson, and Banks, and Papa during Friday's premiere edition of this week's Giants First and 10. We'll see you again on the line.